Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Al.
And I'm Anton. And we've got an exciting week. Not only is it episode 200 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast, we've just had the launch of the Mario movie.
Hey! Huzzah!
Congratulations, Mario. It's been a while. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, though.
How have you managed to restrain yourself, Mike? I was there on Wednesday night, the day it opened.
Yeah, well, I was doing other things this week. I was away for a few days, so that's one of the reasons. Now I have children duties for a week, so it's probably going to be a little while till I do get to see it, but I'm excited to hear what your thoughts on it are. Are we going to do that now?
I'm up for that now. Have you seen it, Anton? I presume you have.
I have indeed. I saw it last night in preparation for the podcast, and yeah, it was quite a fun experience.
All right, then, Al, let's get your thoughts. What did you think?
I'll try and do this in a non-spoiler way, because I'm going to go very, very general. But the overall opinion was it was very good. So I saw it with my partner, who doesn't really care about these things, but she enjoyed it. She thought it was just a good, fun movie. I saw it with my son, who's currently nearly 8 years old, and he absolutely loved it. He was quoting bits and pieces. It had got an amazing soundtrack. And he and the other half were listening to the soundtrack the next day, and he was reciting exactly what points each song was in. So that was cool. And I just love the fact it was just jam-packed full of Nintendo goodness. There were just little Nintendo Easter eggs everywhere you looked all the way through the movie. The acting, I thought, was brilliant. I totally bought all the characters, all the voices. The whole thing was just brilliant. It took me a moment to get into Mario. He stood out as being a bit weird, and Princess was a bit weird, but I got used to them all, and I genuinely loved it. I even got over my dislike of the princess, what they'd done with the way she looked. I just, after a little while, I was like, okay, fine, that's what she is, and I got into it. Well, how about you, Anton? What do you reckon?
I went with two skeptics, and all of us came out enjoying it. For the movie, I found the story particularly derivative. I wasn't too crazy on the story. But in all fairness, looking at how much source material they had to go off in terms of story, I think they did an exceptional job of stretching that into a movie, working with what was there. You know, it didn't feel like it was, you know, just doing what they had before of the princess gets taken. But at the same time, it was evolving and making a story out of something without just straying too far from the source material. But overall, I think the main takeaway of it would be that it is just got a level of Nintendo quality to it. It really has, you know, their stamp of approval all the way through. Performances were brilliant all the way through. I think still Chris Pratt, I think he's the weakest actor out of the film. You know, I really like Charlie Day's Luigi. Jack Black's Bowser stole every scene. But I think the number one kind of best thing for me was the music, the soundtrack, borrowing from 35 years of Mario music to make a just epic score.
Nice. Yeah, I am looking forward to seeing it and really being able to enjoy it. It's a funny thing because the critics have been very harsh on it, but the people who have gone to see it, the fans and even the non-fans that have gone to see it, they seem to love it, and that's the kind of main thing.
It's funny, because if you put it up beside something like a Despicable Me, it's not nearly as good of a movie as a Despicable Me, and I'm using that because it's the same animation house, it's Illumination. It's just better written, they've got a lot more creativity that is available to them when they're creating a whole new IP. Despicable Me is probably a better movie, but given the way that historically tie-in movies have gone, they're generally quite bad. This one was really good. I did feel that it romped along maybe a little bit too fast, but there was so much they kind of almost had to squeeze in there that I forgave it. It did what it needed to do, and it was just a good, fun film, and it will go down as a perfectly acceptable, pretty good movie, and that's all it needs to do.
Yeah, well, it's out there, and the chance to see it, if you haven't already, then I suggest going to see it. I will do that as well. I feel kind of bad that I haven't, but such is life. Have you been playing anything this week, Anton?
Indeed. This week, following on from my recent kind of retrofit or retro-modded Joy-Cons, I've went ahead and didn't see me being, and picked up another stray. And what I've done is picked up a stray Nintendo Switch OLED tablet, just the tablet part, paired it up with the Joy-Cons I've already got. So I've now moved to the OLED life. And it's been absolutely lovely. It's been really nice to have a new and upgraded Switch, the build quality, the screen, and the battery life. Very, very happy. So just been dipping in and out of a couple different games, getting the full experience. Haven't really sunk many hours into any particular title, but some highlights are Yu-Gi-Oh!, Burnout Paradise, Tetris, the classics. What can I say? I'm a broken record, Al.
I'm intrigued, actually. When we get into one of our stories later on, I'm going to ask you how you feel about it, given the fact you've just gone and retro-modded your Joy-Cons to change the sticks in them. But we'll come on to that in good time. I have been playing a little bit of Switch. It's going to come as no surprise to anybody, because as everyone knows, I pretty much name the same game week after week after week for a phase, and then I pick up something new. So this week, I has been mostly playing Sports Story, big surprise, with a bit of Boomerang Foo, big surprise. But I did buy a new game, mostly thanks to Sykesy89, who is one of our patrons in the Discord, mentioning that Rubber Bandits was a ridiculously cheap price on the eShop, and I thought, meh, I'll go and grab that. So I've bought it, I've downloaded it, I've not played it yet, but it looks like it should be an awful lot of fun.
Well, I've been playing Eastward, and I've played a fair bit more now. I'm starting to really get into it. It's really well written. It's a lot of fun. The animation is slick and very kind of classic looking, but that modern classic thing that there's a lot of around, but it's really well done. And it's one of the nicest looking ones that I've seen out of all the games in that style. So really been enjoying that. And apart from that, that's probably been the main thing. I have gone to play a bit of Steins Gate Zero, because obviously I played Steins Gate a couple of years back. So been playing a bit of that, although not enough to really report back yet. I'm probably only a couple of hours in, but yeah, but Eastward, I have to say, is really, really good. So looking forward to playing more of that. Maybe tonight we'll see, although, you know, this podcast does take priority. By the way, nsukp.co.uk/support-us. If you want to come and join us and be a Patreon, it's nice and cheap as well. And you can come and join us in the Discord, and you get some extra stuff, last call, and just be part of the team, really. I think we not have somebody new join us, Al?
We did, Mike. And I'm thanks for bringing that up while I was actually looking for the person's name, because I feel really bad that I don't have to hand. Here we go. Yes, we do. We've got Craig. Craig Petherick has joined us this week as a new patron. So, Craig, you are due a big shout out, patron. Woohoo. So, woohoo!
Woo-hoo! Hi, Craig. Welcome to the team. And it'll be a lot of fun in the Discord. We did have some mumblings and murmurings about maybe having some more games evenings at some point soon. That would be nice. I'm definitely keen for that. But usually that ends up in my death. Not literally, but in the game, it's usually what happens. So I'm sure, Craig, you'll get to enjoy that too at some
start
point.
The game, kill Mike, repeat. That's pretty much the format.
Literally.
You know, first dead, you know. There's been some amazing, amazing accomplishments by our patrons. They're very talented at killing Mike.
Yeah, it's like Killing Eve, the TV show. It's a whole new idea for just killing Mike, but it's in video game form rather than actually killing me. Anyway, it is time to move on to this week's news.
Tell us that people want to know.
United Independent GmbH have announced Canon Dancer Osman for Nintendo Switch. The Osman just feels like it's tagged on. Published by Innin Games, it's a side-scrolling action platforming game coming out on the 13th of April. It's going to be $24.99, so just a few days to come out. What did you think of this one?
We're finally getting it. I think it was originally pegged to come out in January, and then it got delayed to March, and supposedly it's coming out on the 13th of April. And I believe that because our inbox has been flooded with PR from their marketing company going, hey, this game's coming out, don't miss this game, tell everyone about this game. They're really pushing this game. It is an arcade classic from like 30 years ago, or rather, it's a spiritual successor, I think, to an arcade classic. And I'm sure Anton will probably correct me here, he'll keep me straight. But I believe it's a spiritual successor to a game called Strider. I don't think this one was originally released, but maybe it was originally released. Either way, it's been enhanced, modified, updated by, I think, two of the original developers that were involved in it. It's very retro. There's a lot of kicking and jumping and retro game mechanics going on in it. Gotta say, I've never played it, but it does look like it would be quite a lot of fun. The fact that they're making such a big deal and a big hype about it means that it's probably more of a big deal game than I gave it credit for in the past. Equally, I'm not getting massively excited about this. What about you, Anton?
Uh,
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence here. I think it's just not a game that is worth $24.99. But it is a classic, and if you're not into emulating, this is your first time to get your teeth sunk into this title. It has had a time in arcades. It's very beloved. As you mentioned, a successor to Strider, which is just a absolutely brilliant game, which, in fact, we don't have Strider or the Strider remaster on Nintendo Switch is another topic for another day. But I'm very happy to get this. I might pick it up on a sale. I really, really enjoy Strider. It's one of the few hard games that I will just die 1,000 times and make progress, you know, slightly forward once and again.
Yeah, Strider, I remember, as being incredibly difficult and unforgiving, but many games were at that point. And it's at the time, it was impressive. Strider, it was an impressive game. So yeah, I think this is kind of cool. Again, it's kind of a collector's thing for me. It's not really something, I'm probably not going to rush out and buy it, but if it comes down in price at some point, I might pick it up.
There's not many games out there where you can run around and kick and punch a tiger in the face, and apparently you can do that in this one. So,
that is true. That is very true. Well, there is another game coming out that you might be able to, maybe not kick a tiger in the face, but certainly a Pokemon, and that is Nintendo EAD have announced Pokemon Stadium for the N64 and Nintendo Switch Online. So it's coming to the Nintendo Switch Online library, which is cool. It's coming out on the 12th of April, just a few days to go. I actually did play this one, weirdly, even though I didn't have an N64. I remember borrowing my little brother's friend from up the road's N64 when this came out. I know him now. I still know him now. I have to remind him of that. And I borrowed it for about 6 months because I just really loved it. It was great fun. And it's still, remember, it was the Pikachu N64 that he had as well.
Oh, the blue one. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, the blue one. So, so this one looks good. And it's nostalgia. It's a bit of a kind of side of the kind of Pokemon, you know, it's not like the mainstream Pokemon game, so I think this is kind of cool.
I never played it when it came out. I always assumed that it was literally just battling Pokemon, but from what I've seen, there's an element of story to it, which kind of surprised me, took me back. But I kind of feel that this is missing something. A large part of the original Pokemon Stadium was that you could download Pokemon from your Game Boy into the original original game and battle them on N64, and that was what was really cool about it. This one, you can't do that. There's no way of linking to your online Game Boy game, because you can play it on there, obviously. You can't link them and trade them. They're just the base standard Pokemon that come in the game. Admittedly, there's all 151 from the first gen. They're all in there. But I kind of feel it's a shame that they didn't just capitalize on that digital link between these two games that are in the library and on the same platform. And it's cool that it's coming. I'm not going to complain. Anton, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm kind of same as yourself. I think this is an exciting addition at the moment, especially if you are a huge Pokemon fan or a huge Pokemon Stadium fan like Mike. But I think where they can really elevate it is by getting that connectivity in there. We've seen with previous leaks when people have modded in Pokemon games into the Game Boy emulator, they can get trading up and running. And I think if they can get interconnectivity between some of these older Pokemon games as part of Nintendo Switch, you know, it not only makes it very accessible to non-emulating people, it would make it a better alternative to people who even emulate to play these games as they were intended, which would be really cool.
Yeah, it is a shame that there wasn't a way that they could have, well, they haven't done it on this occasion, but I still think it's a really good addition to the library, and hopefully they'll be able to maybe implement more as we progress. But it is coming out in a few days' time, 12th of April, so not long to wait. Nintendo Co. Limited and DENA Co. Limited have launched a joint venture called Nintendo Systems Co. Limited. The purpose of this venture is to create a system that makes it easy to deliver Nintendo entertainment to consumers. Now, we just had a movie. I'm suspecting this is maybe something to do with that overall, but you're shaking your head also.
I'm not. So DNA are, they're sort of the mobile company that helped them develop all, you know, Fire Emblem games, Mario Kart Tour, all this kind of stuff. So they're very much a mobile first kind of company. And Nintendo have said, well, it's all a bit weird because what they put in the press, it's all been Japanese, so it's all been translated and it's all a little bit wishy-washy. They basically said that they've created this new company and its mission is to deliver Nintendo Entertainment to consumers, and it doesn't really say anything at all that makes any sense. So this is very new. It's got a website up, but there's not much to go on. All you can just assume is that there's going to be more, well, maybe more back-end system integration. That's kind of how I'm viewing this, because the DNA provide a lot of the platforms for the mobile stuff to work in the background. You know, all the networking, all the payments, all that kind of stuff. And they may be looking at how they can help deliver online streaming. I don't know. I'm just thinking they're primarily an internet company that does things in a streaming and internet first way, and Nintendo's entirely lacking that. So my brain's going, this seems like Nintendo's way of bringing the actual online experience within their grasp and within their control, and actually developing a platform that they might actually manage to grow and expand within. But I don't know, Anton, am I barking up the wrong tree with that?
I think you're in the right territory. DNA in the past has done a lot of the back-end stuff for the likes of the eShop, Nintendo Switch Online, and how I kind of see this, when, you know, the kind of initial talk started about this, was that it's kind of an elevated form of a retainer. You know, these companies are intrinsically linked, so they're kind of formalizing that relationship by making this new Nintendo Systems Co. Limited. The wording of it is very weird. It's not, which makes me question things a little bit, where, you know, it's not just about them doing the back end. They're talking about creating new systems. So whether that's elevating the existing Nintendo Online service, or, you know, if this is going ahead and making Nintendo IDs more of an expansive thing across, you know, mobile games, Nintendo, you know, Switch and all the like, you know, it really has a million ways to go, but it's definitely a back end tech sort of situation here.
Well, there you go. Now I know. The more you know. Next up, Nintendo now offers free repairs for Joy-Cons to users in the European Economic Area, EEA, UK and Switzerland, even if the 24-month manufacturer's warranty provided by Nintendo has expired. Weirdly, I just experienced my first example of drift about a month ago. Of all the years I've had a Switch, it was only literally 3-4 weeks ago I ever had the first issue in any Joy-Con, so I must have got very lucky.
Yeah, three of my five, so I've lost track of how many Joy-Cons I've got. I know one went in the bin, another one might have gone in the bin. Most of them have got drift on them to some extent. You don't even touch it and the character just wanders across the screen. It's really annoying. So yeah, I'm really, really pleased about this. I don't know how difficult it's going to be to log your thing, your Joy-Cons, to go and get repaired if you've not got, you know, proof that you purchased it, and who carries the receipts for things you bought 2 years ago, who knows? I don't know. But I'm going to have a look at this, because I'm going to be sending several Joy-Cons away. And this is where I wondered how Anton felt, because Anton, you've just taken your Joy-Cons apart and replaced the sticks with new magnetic ones. So would you have sent them away to be repaired if this was an option a couple of weeks ago, or would you still have gone ahead and done what you did?
So I had repaired my Joy-Cons a couple of times with just normal sticks, not the fancy electromagnetic ones, so they were probably well past Nintendo wanting to repair them. If I'd never opened them up before, I would be very cross that I went to all this effort, but the fact that they were already tainted by that point, all cool, and as well as that, there's a couple extra improvements, but it's going to be great, because I won't lie, when I didn't have working Joy-Cons, it really cut down on the amount of time I was, you know, putting into the Switch. And, you know, I think for people that maybe had their Switches for a couple years, they could lose customers that way, especially if it's happened several times to people. You know, people don't like to be burned too many times.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, as you said, that they're finally doing this here. I mean, obviously, they've done it in America, and it's such a shame it's taken this long. That's the thing that gets me. You know, we're getting into a system that's 6 years old, and here we are. But it's great, and it's just, it's been such a known problem for so long, but it is good. And I look forward to Alistair's bag of Joy-Cons heading off in the direction of Nintendo HQ. Nintendo have shared the official logo for EA Sports FC. It's in the game. On behalf of Electronic Arts in a tweet stating, join the club this July. Now, this is going to be really interesting for a number of reasons. Well, maybe not for you guys, but it's interesting for me because this is the first time we've had a split. And obviously, we're going to have the EA game and we're going to have the FIFA game. Whether or not they both come to Switch, I don't know. But certainly this is interesting that Nintendo have shared it. And my hope is that there is some sort of optimization in terms of the engine they use so that we can actually catch up a little bit on what other systems are doing, or at least do our own version of it on the Switch that isn't just a lazy port from the previous year. Now, I say that, but it's EA. So my hopes will probably be dashed, but I don't know. Nintendo sharing it gets me mildly hopeful. I would just love them to do one decent port of it. Anton, am I completely getting carried away?
No, I think there's a lot of logic to what you're saying. You know, this is an incredibly vulnerable point for Electronic Arts, despite being the big evil mega company that we like to think of them as. You know, they're in a position here where one of their most lucrative franchises, you know, within 2 years could be looked at as the cheap clone of whoever picks up the FIFA IP. So it is prime time for them to reinvent the franchise, make something that looks snazzy, exciting, isn't just a numbered iteration. And, you know, that'll go from, you know, remastering or not remastering, you know, making a substantial upgrade for their kind of main versions of the game. And, you know, hopefully doing a large upgrade to this legacy version, which at the end of the day, at the moment, Nintendo has, or Nintendo Switch has the most market share out of all of the current generation platforms. So the fact Nintendo has shared this is incredibly fascinating. That ensures to me that there's at least some effort for this to be a more meaningful port for Nintendo Switch. Otherwise, I don't see why Nintendo would be the one going out there being like, hey, we've got the worst version of this exciting game coming into our consoles. It's an interesting move, Al.
Yeah, forgive me for being the skeptical of the group, because I always am. But I want this to be better. But I kind of figure, okay, there's a couple of things that I'm thinking here. So back in the past, FIFA wasn't necessarily the dominant game. For a while, back when Mike and I were, I don't know, in our sort of late teens, FIFA existed, but people didn't play FIFA. FIFA was rubbish. Everyone played Pro Evo. Pro Evo Soccer, that was the way to go. Better game. Hands down. Everyone said that. And then over time, it kind of just disappeared and FIFA took off. As you say, they're in a very precarious position right now. They could make the new Pro Evo and take over from where the FIFA name was and let FIFA go off and do whatever they're doing. So long as they get all the official licensing of the characters and the stadiums and teams and all that stuff, which they can do. They said they can do that. They just don't have the FIFA name on it. The games could be really, really good, but I have a worry, and that is if they're building up a new game engine from scratch because they want to go out there and make the best game they can, they're going to be optimizing it for the current generation of consoles. The Switch isn't a current generation console anymore. I mean, it technically is, but if I was EA, I'd be making it for the PS5, the Xbox Series X, and with a view to the Switch's successor.
Yeah, I kind of agree in a lot of ways, but I wonder if this is their chance to sort of say, you know what, we actually think that the Switch is a viable option for us to build something that maybe isn't the same as the other consoles, but is with a view to whatever is going to come next with the Switch as well, and then actually make a bit of an effort with it. And I know exactly what you are saying about Pro Evolution and before that International Superstar Soccer, I think ISS
That's
was
right,
before.
Yeah.
But actually before that, you know, FIFA, when FIFA first came out, if you go back another generation to the sort of Mega Drive era, you know, it was quite revolutionary at that time when it first launched in 93, I think, or 92, 93, because it had this isometric view and it felt good to play and you could actually play two players and it didn't just feel like a top-down thing. And so they have kind of had this wave where they've had moments where they've kind of risen again. And I think the same thing happened about 2005, 2006. They just suddenly thought, you know what, we need to improve this. And then they did. And then it became the better game of the two. But you're right. I think there is a worry. I think they will come up with something good. I think of the games, EA have the resources and the expertise to do something if they don't need to, if they have to not be lazy for once. So I do think they will come up with something good, but I absolutely take your point about the Switch. I just really hope that Nintendo sharing that is a sign that maybe they're going, let's have a think about this a bit more. I know you're going to say something, Anthony.
Yeah, kind of taking this, you know, looking from the perspective of EA, you know, this is a large franchise for them, at least in its current format. But compared to many other franchises of this scale, there's zero really a mobile experience. So for like a cynical, but them doing something new for Nintendo Switch, I could totally see them building a new, you know, console FIFA or FC, excuse me, and then making a mobile FC experience, which is maybe stretched across, you know, Nintendo and smartphones, tablets and the like.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly. You're right. I mean, it's going to be interesting anyway. I think it's certainly going to be one of those moments. This is this opportunity here, and they're either going to absolutely make a mess of it and really not realize what they've got the opportunity to do here, or they're going to go the other way and it's going to be amazing. I really hope it is, but you know, who knows? We'll wait and see, I guess, at this stage. We just don't. So in an interview with Variety, when asked about Mario's lackluster success in the mobile space, Miyamoto said firmly that mobile apps will not be the primary path of future Mario games. He also said, when was asked about the next Mario game, that all I can say is please stay tuned for future Nintendo Directs. He was also speaking to Game Informer. I'm going to give you the quotes together and we'll talk about it all as one. When asked about other Nintendo movies, he said that you probably know that we have Nintendo Pictures now as a group. In terms of announcing or sharing anything, I try to hold off until there's something really good. And then when he was speaking to Screen Rant, he mentioned that he expects Illumination and Nintendo to work together for some time, and Chris Meledandri reiterated saying how he's been invited to join the Nintendo board of directors, which would make a lot of sense. I mean, the Mario movie has obviously, in terms of box office, it's doing really well. There's a bit of hype behind it. It's always going to do well, but the fact that they've done a good job is only going to strengthen that. The mobile stuff, it's interesting because you think about the mobile side of it, and we don't think about it as being a big thing, but when you look at Asia and you look at the success of Nintendo in Asia for mobile gaming, it's huge, and there must be a lot of money in that. So it's quite, for me, it's quite reassuring in some ways to think that they're not going down that route. Not that I have a problem with mobile gaming. I would rather they focused on Nintendo as a gaming heritage, so the Switch and whatever's next. And future Nintendo Directs, that always gets me excited whenever he talks about that. So I'm hopeful. Are we G1 yet, Al?
I mean, we're probably are actually. I'm trying to think when the last one was. We had the last one was a Zelda specific direct, so we're probably due a general direct actually at some point soon. There was a lot. There's an awful lot to unpack. He's clearly been doing the rounds of the media interviews for promoting the Super Mario movie, because Miyamoto has been everywhere speaking about so many different things, and it's great. I love this. I love that we're getting a glut of, I was going to say a glut of information. We're basically getting nothing from him. He's not said anything particularly interesting or new or useful, but it's nice to hear him speaking. It's nice to have it confirmed that, you know, Mario's going to primarily stay on Nintendo consoles first. Well, I don't think anyone was expecting him to suddenly become a mobile first platform or character. That was never going to happen. I don't mind getting more Mario games on mobile. I mean, I still play Mario Kart Tour every single day. It's probably my most played Nintendo game of all time. If you tally up the fact that I've played it every single day for the last, 4 years? Something like that, whenever it came out. And I have played it every day for a good 5 minutes to an hour every single day. That adds up. So, yeah, I can see why it's fairly big. But yeah, stick on the Nintendo hardware as the primary source, because we can get really, really good games when everything's optimized and they've got a whole, you know, AAA team behind them. And I do love it when we get mentions of directs. I don't know if we'll get another main Mario game on the Switch. I wouldn't be surprised if we got one not long after the Mario movie comes out on DVD or whatever. This is a surprise. Here's the next Mario game. But at the same time, we do have Zelda coming out in, a couple of weeks' time, really, month. So they might want to capitalize on Zelda, but we'll see. I'm not going to get my hopes up. It's far too much speculation for my liking. And as for them making more movies with Illumination, great. Anton and I were speculating on Last Call last week about what they might be. And I think we generally agreed there were some really, really good IPs out there that would make really good animations and some really good IPs out there that would make really good live-action TV shows, a.k.a. Metroid.
Yeah, Metroid. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I want to see Kirby the movie.
Kirby would be epic if they just went full into the cosmic side of Kirby. And yeah, you know, I'm very much the same as you, Al. You know, mobile games were never going to be Nintendo's first thing. To be honest, I still kind of see the mobile side of Nintendo as like Nintendo making their shareholders happy during the Wii U era, and now they just still have these mobile games up and running because they're pretty good and, you know, stuff that was still in development. You know, I think in terms of the next Mario game, you know, it'll either drop and will be, you know, its own separate entity, or if Nintendo's happy with the Super Mario movie, which it sounds like they are, I could maybe see them lining it up with a second one. Movies do turn up a lot quicker than video games, but it has been a while since Odyssey. And yeah, you know, I think it's exciting to see that, you know, this Illumination partnership will be going on to the oncoming future. It's just going to be interesting to see how long we're going to have to wait until the second of the film from this collaboration.
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't know if it'll be that long. You know, I mean, I think it will be for the release, but I don't think it'll be that long before we hear they're working on it. You know, it's what are we on the making of the third Sonic movie now? Is that right, Anton?
Indeed, I think it's basically every 2 years we've got a Sonic movie. So yeah. Different bars for quality, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. All the Sonic ones, let's not play them down.
I love the Sonic movie too.
They're good movies.
I love the Sonic movie, and it might be slightly controversial to say it was slightly better than the Mario one, but don't tell anyone who said that.
Well, I mean, look.
They're just very different movies. That's all I'd say. They're very different movies. You can't compare them.
Well, interestingly, I know that Sonic 2 is supposed to be much better, and I haven't actually watched that one yet, so I'm going to watch that one very soon, because I've heard that that's even better than the first one. Anton, you can confirm that?
Yeah, so much better. I think, similar to yourself, Al, I think it's technically a better film than the Mario movie 2, but it's a lot less faithful. So it's like potato, potato.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, okay, it is time for Turbo Mode.
Yes.
I'm going to fly through some of these stories and then I'm going to get your thoughts on them and see what you think. So, Nintendo has launched the eShop Super Mario sale featuring 33% off Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, Super Mario Maker 2, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze and Yoshi's Crafted World. The sale is on until the 20th of April, 2023. And if you think you're going to get any of that cheaper, then you're not, because it's Nintendo and they never discount those any more than they are right now. Jack Black has released a single called Peaches with a music video by Lyrical Lemonade. You can now pre-order the Super Mario Bros. Movie soundtrack on vinyl, CD and cassette. You can also get the 7-inch vinyl Bowser Peaches single. You can now pre-order the Super Mario Bros. Movie on DVD, Blu-ray and 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray. Tons of the Super Mario Bros. Movies merch has been released online, including Monopoly, a storybook, an activity book, playlets, wall art and t-shirts. YouTube is celebrating Mario videos making up over 100 billion views. Legendary Entertainment has gained Street Fighter movie and TV rights. Warner Bros. Have announced that the live-action Minecraft movie will come out on the 4th of April 2025. Starring Jason Momoa and directed by Jared Hess. Devolver Digital has acquired Doinksoft, creators of Gato Robato, which I have played, Demon Throttle and Gumbrella. Blanc has received a large quality of life update. That's the one with the... Is that the one with the fox?
Indeed, black and white art style.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. The Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster has a release date of the 19th of April, which is very soon. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Cowabunga Collection has been updated to include TMNT3 NES online play, as well as even more bonus content in the Turtles lair. Nessie wins the monster-themed Splatoon 3 Splatfest. The Splatoon 3 European Championship 2023 will soon ink its way across 12 European regions. Teams that come out on top in regional tournaments, combining Turf War and Anarchy Battle Modes, will splat it out in a live grand final in late 2023. With over 140 tracks around 9 hours, the Xenoblade Chronicles 3 original soundtrack releases on the game's anniversary on July the 29th. That includes music from Volume 4. And Nintendo wraps up Kirby's 30th anniversary celebrations. The Rare co-founder Tim Stamper has uploaded a photo confirming the existence of the Dream 64. The No Man's Sky Interceptor update has a trailer. Square Enix have quietly updated the Dragon Quest 12 The Flames of Fate logo on the Square Enix Career Recruitment website. looking for dragons. Nintendo is now accepting refund requests for those in Japan who do not wish to transfer their eShop credit from the Wii U 3DS to the Nintendo Switch via Nintendo account link. Quite a lot there. Interesting for me that they're accepting refund requests. That's quite an interesting thing for me. I think it's good. The Dream 64 looks incredible and weird and awesome and all those things. The 30th anniversary for Kirby, I think it's been a huge success and the games are still so much fun, even the sort of side-scrolly ones. No Man's Sky continues to update, which I think is amazing. TMNT, I mean, anything Turtles. I have the Cowabunga collection. I haven't really had a chance to delve into it apart from the one that I completed on the Spectrum, which is the NES version of it. And I will get onto that at some point, but it looks amazing. So much content in there. And Devolver Digital, Doinksoft do some good stuff. Gato Roboto is a decent little game as well, so quite interested in that. And then there's a bunch of stuff about movies, but I'm going to let you guys talk about that. Anton, what did you like about this week's Turbo Mode?
Well, it was quite a good Turbo Mode because I'd almost missed that the Mario movie came out, so good to get that in. I'm particularly excited to see that there is the existence of Dream 64. If you've never heard of it, it is a long lost Nintendo 64 game by Rare. It morphed into Star Fox Adventure, which is nothing like an N64 game, and the little clips and images we've seen throughout the years and the tidbits we've known. So whatever this version is, it's going to be a wildly different game, and any lost media from Rare is going to be exciting. And
well, I think, did they not say that one morphed into several games? It started off as a SNES game, and then became an N64 game, and bits became Star Fox, and bits became Banjo-Kazooie, and I don't quite understand how that happened, because as far as I understood, all they really made was an intro and a little bit of gameplay, but they took all those elements and they just filtered off elsewhere. But it looked cool. Yeah. It had pirates in it, that's all I know.
Yeah, it seems like every Rare game from that era has some form of reference to it. Apparently this cartridge that is kind of being teased is the latest version of the build that they had before it kind of morphed into Star Fox. So
21st of November 1996, maybe. There was a date stuck on it.
So that is very exciting to see. And yeah, it's just really exciting to see the hype machine for the Mario movie. It's kind of odd to get a cassette with Nintendo on it. You know, that feels wrong.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but then I remember having several Spectrum games that, in fact, I recently sold an eBay Mario Bros. For the Spectrum, which is really weird because it just looks odd. It wasn't worth very much, but it was just an odd thing. Oh, what about you?
Well, while we're talking Mario movie, I may as well talk about the Blu-ray coming out, because I love the fact that nobody has an idea of when it's coming out. If you go on Warner Brothers' official store, you can pre-order it now, and it says, this will be dispatched on the 31st of December, 2023. Which is a long way away, but that's their official date that's on there. But then Nintendo Wire, they picked up a story, I'm going to say last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that, where the leaked release date for the Steelbook was the 6th of June. And to be fair to me, the 6th of June feels more likely because, you know, things come out pretty quickly these days. That seems like the right time for me.
Well, I was going to say that Amazon, they have that end of year date on anything that hasn't got an official date on it yet. So it could just be that that's the placeholder. Which I suspect, but I think you're right. I think June or July seems more realistic, which is I still find that crazy, because it used to be you'd be waiting 18 months to get a film on
and now
DVD,
it's out within a couple of months, and you can probably stream it at the same time, I'm guessing, because that's the way these things go. So that's cool. And I don't know whether I'm excited or really scared about Legendary Entertainment picking up Street Fighter for both movie and television rights. I mean,
do you think Kylie Minogue will be in it again? Do you think Kylie Minogue will be in it again?
I watched the original Street Fighter like last year, 2 years ago, something like that. And it was awful, but I loved it so much. It was so much better than I remember it. In hindsight, when you go into it going, this is a terrible movie, and you just accept it's going to be a terrible movie and you roll with it, it was really good fun. I don't know what they do with it these days. It's going to go one of two ways, really, isn't it? And I hope it's awesome. I'd love to see a TV show based on Street Fighter, because there's so many great characters in there. You could have so many good stories from the Street Fighter universe. It would be cool. Anton, you look like you want to say something here.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, you know, as soon as the Mario movie comes out, all the companies are like, it's safe to talk about our video game projects. You know, we're not going to scare the investors away, because live action Minecraft?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that, I don't get Jason Momoa? Sure.
I don't get
but
that.
Minecraft, I don't understand how you do live action Minecraft. The whole thing about Minecraft is it's aesthetic
weird.
And it's all big and blocky and it's all digital. How but do you do that live
is
action?
Is it going to be like, what's that film? Jumanji. Is it going to be that kind
Minecraft
of vibe
world.
Where they... Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I can't see how else you could do it.
Because even then, like, I feel like it's just going to look weird because, like, a block in Minecraft yeah. is, like, I believe 2 meters tall. So, like...
Oh, my
Jason
son's
Momoa
been telling me it's supposed to be a meter tall. It's a
meter
square. Meter
tall, sorry.
He knows these things because he's very knowledgeable now. So, yes, meter. So, I don't... Everything's going to be giant in comparison to... I don't... This is... It's going to be fun. I can't wait to see that. What else did I want to pick up? Did you guys watch the YouTube celebrating Mario, 100 billion views of Mario on YouTube? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
I have indeed. It's it's interesting seeing YouTube put up this video when like Nintendo has been so aggressive with their copyright system. I feel like they should soon even be touching it.
I feel that this must have been approved because they've even got the little GIF of Mario running across the screen. There's a lot of Nintendo IP in it. They must have got permission to do this. Otherwise, they know Nintendo's litigious. This is Google that's basically produced this. There will have been a legal contract because Google's lawyers will not have let them do it without permission. It was just fun seeing all the creative things that people have done with Nintendo over and Nintendo IP, specifically Mario, over the years. You know, people dressing up to do cooking shows and random. Just, there's so much Mario out there, and it was a nice little thing for them to do. I don't quite know why they put out, unless they were paid by Nintendo PR to do that, because. Why would YouTube bother doing that? It's just it's a thing.
Well, it's quite a cool start, though. I think I get. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I think it's cool, though. I think it's great. And you're right. I think they probably had to get some sort of official approval because, you know, Nintendo, they're not known for their being chill about these things, are they, Anton?
No, it's been quite interesting. I feel like with the Super Mario movie, it's had to force Nintendo to get out of their comfort zone in terms of marketing. Like, even outside of the marketing aspect, like, Nintendo never puts out their soundtracks. They really rarely do it. And then we've got music videos, we've got vinyls. You know, they're all in it for this one,
they're
which is
moving with the
different.
Times. Yeah. It's really cool. And I think the last thing I wanted to pick up was just the fact that it's so Nintendo-y. I have never seen anyone else put out an announcement about the end of a celebration. Everyone else goes, hey, we're going to celebrate the year of this, yeah. and it's cool, and that's it done, and you just can quietly end it. But Nintendo had to put out an announcement going, yes, we've now officially ended the celebration of Kirby, so stop celebrating now, we're done. It's just on Nintendo. Yeah.
Wait another 10 years for the 40th. Anton, was there anything else you wanted to pick up on?
I think I'm all good, thanks.
You're all good. Okay, I wasn't sure if I'd cut you short. Okay, it is time then for this week's rumour.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
I say rumour because there is just one, and it is, both Al and I are confused by it, but I'm going to read it and then Anton's going to explain it because, you know, that's what Anton does best when we read things that we're not sure about. Xbox Series XS console emulators in retail mode no longer working, reportedly due to Nintendo. What and why and where and when and how and who?
So, Microsoft has been smart for quite a while when they learned that a lot of the reasons why people hack their consoles in the past is that, you know, people want to run their own software and consoles, you know, third-party software, they want to run emulators and all that sort of stuff. So to stop people hacking their consoles and then that leading to piracy, for years, basically since the dawn of the Xbox One, Microsoft has allowed people to basically put it into dev mode and then run whatever software they want. And it has worked for Microsoft for some time that not even the Xbox One's been hacked, whereas the PS4 and PS5 can be hacked. And a big appeal of that has been emulators, and there's a huge scene of emulators that can run in dev mode for Xbox One and Xbox Series consoles by extension. Now, in recent times, there has been conversations by many of the big emulator creators that there could be a chance to get emulators onto the retail version of Xboxes through the Microsoft App Store, and that was going to be a thing. And abruptly, despite many of these emulators gearing up for launches on the retail side of Xbox consoles, the plugs have been pulled. Microsoft just all of a sudden went, nope, we're not doing this anymore. So the reason seems to be, from insiders, that Nintendo has basically been like, do not do this. And that is the current story.
Right. Interesting. I mean, it doesn't surprise me Nintendo said do not do this, Al.
It doesn't surprise me. Nintendo obviously are very controlling of their IPs, and I get why Nintendo would do that. And I was going to try and make an argument about what you can do on Windows. Why, if Microsoft let you do on Windows, why can't you do it on an Xbox? But I guess the difference is, in Windows, you don't buy the emulator from the Windows Store. You go and buy it or download it from the internet somewhere out there, and you install it on your Windows operating system. Whereas for Xbox, you'd have to be official and through an Xbox Store, which means Microsoft then have to condone it, which then makes them liable. And I could kind of see why this has ended up going this way, which is a shame, but understandable. I mean, commercially and legally, there's not really a really good argument that can be made for having emulators available on an Xbox, because everyone knows what they're used for, and there's other options available for it. And unless you own the original of a game, you shouldn't be emulating it anyway. Just saying. It's a very grey area, and one I'm not really surprised that they've ended up going down this road, Anton.
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting, that if the rumours are true and Nintendo did take a stab here, is whether or not they're going to take a stab at Valve with the rumoured launch of the Dolphin GameCube and Wii emulator coming to the Steam platform. Or will Nintendo just, hold back? Because technically, emulators are not illegal. The ROMs are.
Yeah, there is the technicalities, I guess. It's, it reminds me of old cassette issue of recording games back in the 80s. Not that I was really around then. Obviously, I wasn't born until the late 90s, but I hear it was very controversial. Okay, it is then time for Mike's Deals of the Week. I'm going to start with some eShop deals, because there's some ridiculous deals right now. And Anton, I found a visual novel that I think you're going to love, okay? And it's actually one I have. I have the physical, but I've actually, because this is so low in price, I've actually bought it digitally, because I'm like, you know what? It means I don't have to necessarily change the cartridge if I want to play it. So, first up, BioShock 2 Remastered is currently $3.99 on the eShop.
Good gracious me.
Tempting.
Which is ridiculous for a big game. So this is the game, Anton, I'm going to read you the description of it. This is the one I think that you should try out. So the description is, what if the 1983 video game marketing crash never happened? Set in 20XX, Arcade Spirits is a visual novel romantic comedy with a different history where arcades still reign supreme as the ultimate place to play. How fun!
Very fun indeed. It's been a while since I've picked up a visual novel, so I think after I finished The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog, that might need to be the next one on the list.
I forgot about that. So definitely worth looking at, because I've actually looked at it a couple of times. I bought it, I haven't played it yet, but it gets well reviewed. I also BioShock the Collection, right? So I just told you about a really cheap deal there for BioShock 2, okay? I'm about to beat that, okay? The collection, the BioShock collection, is currently $7.99 for the whole collection.
Wow. And
that is insane.
That is insane. I've also seen, like, in person, like in game, they've got a deal where it's like 2 for $20, and you can get as part of that both the BioShock collection and the Borderlands collection. I'm like, wow, free first person shooters for $20?
Interestingly, if you want the Borderlands Legendary Collection right now, it's $7.99 on the eShop, which again is a steal. Are you all right, Alistair? You look like you've lost the plot there.
I can't believe how cheap these games are. That's insane.
I know. Lego City Undercover. Now, interestingly, Lego City I completed on the Wii U and then completed again on the Switch right back at the start. Just love that game. $7.99 right now. And I think that's a good deal, because it's a game that is a lot of fun, as Al knows. It's a real good sort of GTA type Lego game, but it's a bit buggy on the Switch, and there was all sorts of weird things that happened. So. Yeah, I remember. Mine too. It was very strange. New Super Lucky's Tale is £8.09 at the minute on the eShop. I think that's a really good deal for a game that I have completed, and it gives you plenty to play. Also, K's and the Wild Masks, another real good platformer. That's down from $26.99 to $3.99. So again, that's ridiculous. Lego Harry Potter Collection is currently $11.54 on the eShop. And that's both games and all the Lego Harry Potter, Lego, the Harry Potter games, films. You know what I'm trying to say,
that's
Al.
Awesome. I borrowed your version of it. I don't know why that game didn't sit well with me. I liked Harry Potter. I like Lego games. That one was just, it flowed weird. But If you like Harry Potter, go ahead and go buy it at that price. Sure.
It's a great price. The Last Campfire is £2.69 right now, Anton.
Incredible. Quite a deal.
Yeah, you've also got Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered, $6.99. Really good game. I think that's an amazing deal. Also, Overcooked 2 is only $4.99 at the minute. And again, that's one that I thoroughly recommend picking up because it's good. There's a couple more in the eShop, and then I'm going to give you a couple of physical games as well to check out because it honestly, the eShop deals at the minute just keep coming and coming. And every time I'm like, really? Evergate, there's another game which is a really decent little game. It's normally $7.99, so it's not the most expensive game. Well reviewed on Metacritic, it's got like a 75 score. It's a 2D puzzle platformer, and you can pick it up for $1.99 at the minute, which I just think is, well, it's half a pint, so worth it, I would say. What else have we got for you? One more from here. If you like your visual novels, Root Film, a huge game, and that's $11.54 at the minute, normally $34.99. I think that's a really good deal. And Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for Neighborville is £5.24 at the minute. Like, it's just like giving games away, isn't it?
Indeed, it's been quite fun. Like, I kind of slowed down with my Nintendo switching for a little bit there, but kind of picking up the OLED, I was wanting to pick up some more games, and I was just looking around them like, you know, we're in a little golden age right now for getting cheap Nintendo Switch games, and I can only imagine it's going to get cheaper.
Well, I'm hoping so. So for physical ones, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, that is currently $24.99 at Argos, which is the lowest it's ever been. The one thing with that game, though, just given the performance of the first one, I'm still holding out for that to be a $7.99 eShop deal at some point soon. Are you in the same boat as me, Al?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I am, because I'm cheap.
Well, I know that, but what about you, Anton? Let's ask someone that does spend money on games.
I won't lie, I'm the same boat. You know, it's Ubisoft, they do the little bundle deals quite often where it's like, oh, get the download code versions, which is not great, but I'm like, you know what? £15 for a download code of Mario & Rabbids, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, well, here's an interesting one. If you want the physical Asterix and Obelix XXL3 The Crystal Menhir, which is a game which I know you might not be instantly like, oh, I definitely need that. However, it is physical and it's on Amazon right now, and it's the proper physical, it's not a code, and it's £7.61 at the minute, which I think is, for any Switch game, let alone one that is actually quite well reviewed and is kind of fun and it's what you expect, but that's an amazing deal, Anton, isn't it?
Indeed, that, to be honest, at that price it's so cheap that if you have a good game with if you have a good game with a rubbish box, you could replace it and then just keep the cartridge around.
Yeah. What did you shout there, Alistair, very rudely?
Yeah, for anyone that's playing Indeed Bingo or whatever it is, Indeed Drinking Game. Anton said Indeed. I've never said Indeed about 3 or 4 times, so oh dear, that's gone badly wrong.
Oh, I see. All right. Sorry. That's what happens when I'm off the show for ages. I miss out on these things. But that, I think, is an amazing deal. But there's a bunch as well. You mentioned some of the sort of first party Nintendo games as well being on sale just now. Final one physical as well that I'll give you today. I know you can pick this up super cheap at the minute as well, but on the eShop. But Life is Strange True Colors, if you want the physical, $19.99. I think that's a really good deal. Really solid game. And one more, Wonder Boy Asha in Monster World, £18.46 right now at Amazon. There we go. There are my deals of the week.
That's a lot of dealage.
I know, it's amazing how deals become very expensive when you buy 400 of them. I was just going to wait until someone spoke,
like,
but I'll just...
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah, we were all just looking at each other and everyone was kind of like, I wonder who's going to speak next. That's the longest gap I've ever allowed on the show. Absolutely. Right, well, speaking of tumbleweed, normally it's a tumbleweed for my performance on the quiz, but I am actually, I hate to mention this, but 1-0 up. So there will be no quiz now, and that's the show for another... No, I'm joking. It's time for the quiz.
I have so many questions.
I'm not going to lie, Mike. I was slightly surprised you came back this week. I was genuinely expecting you to go, oh, sorry, I'm ill this week. I can't come and play, just so you can keep that number one status.
I'm committed to the show. I am wanting to find a way to do it no matter what the circumstances. So I am here for another round of probably being beaten, but you never
know. Excellent. Well, let's see. I have a little bit of a theme this week. We've got two action RPG games this week. So I'll give you that up front. They're both action RPGs. So, I'm going to follow my traditional format. Two games. I will give the guys a description of what the games are. They have got to guess, well, take it in turn to guess. The first person to guess the game gets the point. And then there's a tiebreaker at the end, assuming that they both get one each. And if they don't, well, it's just for to see if one can recover a little bit of reputation,
pride,
shall we say, which is the closest to
pride.
The flag. Yes, pride. Closest to flag game, so I'll name a game, and they've got to tell me what year it came out. So, without further ado, let's jump into the first game, which is a 1993 SNES action RPG.
Megalomania.
No.
That's not an action RPG, and it's on the Mega Drive, but never mind.
Let's just go for action RPG. Chrono Trigger. It's not action at all.
No. This one was developed by an Australian developer called Beam Software, which I don't think will help either of you, but it's important.
Final Fantasy IV.
Link to the Past.
It is not. It is loosely based on a novel. The novel is called Never Deal with a Dragon.
Hmm. Okay, interesting. That's action RPG from that era. Oh, goodness me. I didn't have a SNES. That's an annoying part. Alicia Dragoon. That was on the Mega Drive.
Dragon's Keep.
Nope. It was adapted from a tabletop game by a company called FASA. F-A-S-A.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Rock and Roll Racing.
Nope. To try this again. So to control the protagonist in the game, you use the D-pad. But there was a cursor you can move around the screen, you click on things like doors to perform actions and all that kind of stuff. Again, won't help you, but it's important to know.
Eye of the Beholder.
Sims Quest Adventure.
No. This one was a critical success. It won a number of awards, including the Best RPG of the Year by Video Games, by Electronic Arts, wow, and by Game Informer, but it was a commercial failure.
Hmm. Dragon Quest III.
I've got two more clues and then I'm going to give it to you.
Something Zag.
No. It was credited with pioneering film noir in video games.
Oh.
It's a big deal.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure you've probably both heard of the game.
Syndicate?
Yeah.
Nope.
That was later on, I think. But film noir, that's interesting. Is it... what's that game called again? That was in the Mega Drive. Comic Zone.
Nope.
That's what I was going to say, but it's not.
In 2007, FASA Studios and Microsoft released a multiplayer first-person shooter adaptation of the same franchise.
Oh. What's that game called? Cameo.
No. I'm saying no a lot. It's been a long time since we got this far through without someone guessing it randomly.
No, I just don't know this one.
First-person shooter adaptation.
There was, yes.
It's not. I'm just going to chuck in Project Zero. Project Dark Zero.
No, the game was Shadowrun.
Shadowrun. Oh. Oh yeah, of course. It's funny because I remember the game. I don't think I ever played it because I didn't have a SNES, and I don't think it was on the Mega Drive.
Well,
but I'm not sure. It might well be.
Okay. Well. Neither of you got that point, so I don't remember the last time that happened. Let's move on to the next game. So this one is a 1994 action RPG developed by Blue Sky Software.
Is it action RPG, you said? Is it... Okay, that does ring a bell, you know.
Yeah.
Is it...
Toy Story.
Nope, not Toy Story.
did you say action RPG? Yeah,
same category as the last one.
94. I'll say Alien versus Predator.
This one was published by Sega on the Genesis, not the Mega Drive, on the Genesis, because it only came out in America.
Oh no, Anton's going to get this, I think. It's a tough one. Only out in
America. Force 4?
Nope.
Shining Force 5.
Yeah, I like what you did there. No. GamePro criticized this game as being, it had small and muddled graphics, a tinny sound, tedious and awkward control systems, and very repetitive gameplay.
Batman Returns.
Nope.
I'm going to chuck a pass in there.
Electronic Gaming Monthly described the game as engrossing, with excellent overhead action sequences and plenty of areas to explore.
Superman.
Thunder Force 4.
No, this one was third-person perspective, isometric kind of view during exploration. Had isometric view during exploration and combat, third-person perspective. But when you went to battles were set in real time, which was slightly confusing.
Hmm, that's weird. Mega Drive. Oh, sorry, Genesis, not the Mega Drive. Oh. Ah, these are tough this week, Al.
And I'm having fun with it.
tough? I'm trying to think what that would be, though. Genesis games. I have a feeling this is something that probably came out later with a different version of it, I would suspect. So I'm going to go with...
Sonic RPG. Paper Sonic.
neither.
I'm going to go with Shinobi 2.
No, I'll give you one more clue, which probably won't help you get it, but I'll give you another chance to guess a random one. Similar to most RPGs, the characters could skill up, they all had various strengths, and some characters could access something called the Matrix, which is a global computer network that used to hack systems. That's your last clue. Good luck. I'm looking forward to revealing what this game is.
Cyber Fantasy Star.
Nope.
Let's go.
It's I don't know. Let's go with Final Fantasy V.
Before I reveal the name of the game, I'm going to tell you that in 2013, there was a game released that tied the narrative of our first game to the narrative of the second game, because this game was also called Shadowrun. It had nothing to do with the SNES game. It was an entirely different game. They just had the same name.
No way. That's hilarious. That was very clever, Al. You know, the funny thing is like, I was thinking Shadowrun. And I was like, oh no, I don't think that was on the Mega Drive. And I was right. It wasn't. It was on the Genesis. So, wow. Okay. All right. It's just all down to the pin.
It is. It all down to the 0-0. All right. So, I need a coin again to toss to see, because I can't remember who went first last week. So I'm going to go by coins again. Coins are a good way of figuring out who gets to go first. Right, Anton, Cole, do you want heads or tails to make a decision?
Heads.
Heads. And we have a flip. It is tails. Mike, do you want to go first or second?
I'm going to go... You know what? I'm going to be brave and go first.
Okay. What year did Epic Mickey come out? Worldwide, not the Japanese release, because that was technically the year after, but everywhere else. What year did Epic Mickey come out?
Epic Mickey on me. Okay, well, I've played Epic Mickey 2, so... that's a tough one.
Again.
I think it was... I wish I'd gone second. Nope, can I go second?
Come on, give me an answer.
All right, okay, so I've got a couple of theories here because... And I don't want to go into them yet because obviously Anton hasn't chosen, but... I'm going to go
with
2006.
Thank you, Anton.
2007.
Mike, you should have gone later. Anton definitely wins.
2011.
Say it was 2010.
2011. You see, that's really annoying because I played the game and I thought there was a second one that came out then and I've got confused with the first one. Oh, that's disappointing.
Which means it's all square. It's one apiece.
Yeah, well done, Anton.
Why, thank you. I remember it kind of coming out late 2010s because it was when Tim Burton was going through his emo phase and everybody was loving being emo and even Mickey went emo. It was a great time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, good quiz. And annoying that the first two answers were the same answer. That really annoys me.
That was fun. I enjoyed coming out of that. I like being a bit sneaky.
It's going to haunt my dreams, to be honest, so never mind. But that was good, Alan. Well done, Anton. It's 1-1, so, you know, it's normal services resumed at least, but we shall see from there. That is it for another episode. Once again, a huge thank you to everyone who has left us a review. If you want to do that, Apple Podcasts is probably the best place to do it. and we will read them out when we see them. Also, if you want to come and join us on the Patreon and the Discord and all that fun stuff, then head to nsukp.co.uk/support-us. It's just £2 a month, which is super duper cheap. And it's a lot of fun too. And we really appreciate the support. We put everything back into the show, which we really appreciate too. Just a final mention though, that this was our 200th episode, because that is wild, Alistair.
200 main episodes. Yeah. I mean, it's nice that we managed to tie the movie, the Mario movie, in with our 200th episode. I mean, it was really nice for Nintendo to just delay that for us so that they coincide.
I know, it was good of them.
Really kind. I enjoyed those conversations with Shigeru and with Illumination. But yeah, 200 episodes. Yeah. That's never thought we'd get this far. I mean, as Anton has said in our Discord, because a couple of people have been talking about that this week, a lot of podcasts, they peter out long before they even get to 100. We've made it to 200. No. That's like twice as many as 100, Anton. Twice as many.
Indeed, and we've been remarkably consistent with it, I think, all things considered. Like, we haven't had to do, like, a big reboot. We haven't had to do, like, a big cast reshuffle. You know, it's just been the three of us with the occasional guests, and then a huge variety of extra content. I believe I've just checked now, we're up to... this will be episode 497 of everything we've done, so that just gives a hint of all the extra stuff you can get with the Patreon.
Does that mean, Anton, that next week's last call will be episode 500?
Yes.
Wow.
That is a bit uncanny.
Yeah, that's weird. That is incredible. Yeah, it's mad. But the Patreon... It's a great place to be. There's a lovely community of people. We really appreciate it. And we definitely wouldn't have got to this stage if it wasn't for the people who support us. So we really appreciate it. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to playing more Eastward, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I'm loving my Switch again at the moment. I'm loving playing Sports Story. It was glitchy for a bit. I think we got past the glitches, I hope. And I'm just, it's such a nice, pleasant experience, except for the Joy-Con drift.
Yeah. Eastward's got that same pleasant vibe about it. It's very much so. Right, well, that is it. Any last words, gentlemen? Not ever, but just for this episode.
I thought something terrible was going to happen there. Just drop us messages, because we're on social media. We have emails, which is podcast@nsukp.co.uk. The socials are Twitter's @nsukpodcast, NSUK, yeah, NSUK podcast, that's the one. We're on Facebook, and well, you can find us wherever you've want to go, but go check out Anton's nice shiny website, because I think you've been updating the website a bit recently, Anton. Yes,
indeed, it's all up to date with all 200 episodes of the podcast now, so it's looking nice, tidy, clean. You can learn more about all the reward tiers you get as part of the Patreon, get links to everything, see where all the different sites we're on wise podcast wise and also on social media. Do let us know how you found the Mario movie. We'd love to learn.
That's it for another episode. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Au revoir.